Going to teach along the line now what I believe the Lord want to introduce to the church. You can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to begin a few minutes to tell you some things that I'm seeing in the spirit and some changes that are coming up on the scene. And I want to minister to you apostolically tonight, and that you can get a glimpse of what the Bible talks about when it talks about the apostle and apostleship and the apostolic. For this is where we have to go to return to our rightful places. In other words, our inheritance has been out of socket because we have not known how to tap into it, because we switch from one tree to another tree. The tree of life is the revelation of the word, the revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, reconciliation, justification, that he had paid for it all already, and it belonged to us. But because of government being out of order in the church and organization and structures and denominations and various things came in the church, it took the church from its rulership, its dominion, and its authority, and therefore the believer's dominion, the believer's authority. Even though we know scriptures, even though we love God, but yet if that government is not properly ranked and understand that they're all bond servants, you hear me? Not pointing to no individual or person trying to draw attention, but yet following divine order. So it's so important. Now, a lot of things in your prayer life, in your confession, and the things you've been trying to get to come to pass will begin to come to pass. And the reason is that we need to go back to God's original plan. His original plan here. Now, listen to me carefully before I start teaching from some things tonight, but remember, his original plan, you had Acts 2, right? Now, his original plan, God's original plan, was for his kingdom to rule, to reign, to rule, to reign. That Christians would have authority over everybody. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, as they follow God and follow God's leading, speak God's word, it comes to pass. But we have created a lot of weakling Christians because of disorder, out of order. And so the Lord wants to bring his church back to an apostolic setting. A black lady helped me a whole lot. She got a lot of revelation about apostleship. Matter of fact, I'm going to train 74 to 100 people as an apostolic team. She wrote a book on the ABCs of apostleship. And it's dynamic because an apostle is a person. Apostleship is an office. Apostolic is a function. Got it? Come on, start taking notes. I'm teaching already. The apostle is a person, first rank in spiritual order. Not by his own accord, but by God's appointment, all right? And so heaven to earth revelation will not fully function without an understanding of the apostle's office. Okay. Authority, dominion, breakthrough, victories will not be up to par without that government, or without, I'll give you three words, I get ahead of myself, without the guiding, governing, and guarding of the apostolic anointing. Okay? Now, these people that I'm going to train, they're all going to be on an apostolic team. He'll be a part of it. Doesn't he be a part of it? It's an apostolic team that getting the original revelation an understanding of the functioning of God's staff. God have a staff, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and the evangelist. That staff is just like orders that are set up in an organization. They got one, then they got the other one, the ranks, one over the other one, superintendent, assistant superintendent, president, vice president, etc. Well, in the spirit world, it's a greater dimension, and we have lost that. So I'm going to read a few things I had my secretary type out that might open our eyes to this transition we're making. The church have lost her place of dominion, power, and authority. They have lack of knowledge of ranks, staff of God's government, especially in the fivefold ministry gift. Now, once you get a revelation of that, once you see it in scripture and be able to yield to it and play your part as the Lord leads you, then the dynamics of the church will come back in place. Now, actually, the church is supposed to run government, senators, representative, president, vice president. They're supposed to come to the church to get instruction how to run their office. But over the years, men died to the power and began to look to government for assistance. So it reversed. Now the government supposed to be in charge of the church. But it's the church always was supposed to be in charge, and the believer. If a believer's in the house, something go wrong, the believer should be the one in charge. Because the believer is the one who has the dynamics in the spirit to change that thing supernaturally. Where a natural man can't change it. And demons don't respect government and senators. Representative, no, they don't respect them because they don't have no power unless they're a Christian. And in the Old Testament, the king used to go to the prophet. You remember 2 Chronicles 20? Jehoshaphat did everything he could and did all kind of praying and all kind of fasting, but the office wasn't there. And so he come to a point he didn't know what to do. And then God sent a prophet. The prophet prophesied in his life and told him what to do out of the ordinary, and they won the battle. Now, children, you all been fighting a lot of things you shouldn't have been fighting. And you've been losing battles you shouldn't be losing. You should have authority out of this world. And as we study, as I show you how, it'll bring us back to that place, all right? So the president of government, president, senators, all representatives, all governors, mayors, sheriff, police chief, all. So be supposed to be checking with the prophet. An apostle. They don't now. They have little respect because we lost our own respect. I told ministers a long time ago not to accept government money because they've been buying them out of their spiritual position, not trusting God. Now they are under the natural government, and the spiritual government has no voice. Tonight. Everybody say tonight. We're bringing the government back in its rightful position. Amen. You as a believer to have authority, dominion, and rule over the earth system for the kingdom of God. Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
I'm telling you, look at me. You're supposed to be ruling.
Yes, sir.
Most of you all, I want to say all of you all, living right. If you're living right and love God, you're supposed to be ruling. Now, today, the prophet of God, they're going to the government. So we got to straighten that out. Now, in Acts 2, you know they had the great Pentecostal movement, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Apostolic, prophetically, and Pentecostally. When you say Pentecostal, you're talking about moving in the spirit at a strong dimension. You know, we know about the Pentecostal church, but if the government not right, it's not a Pentecostal church. It's just a jumping around, shouting, and spitting and kicking. But we have to, you have to be identified as your connection with God. Now, in Acts chapter 2, I'm not going to read about the baptism, but Acts 2, look at Acts 2 and look at, I see it verse 41. It's just, and they that gladly received his word was baptized, the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, verse 42 is very important. And they continued steadfastly in what? Read verse 43 now. Now what happened after that? You see, the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine is God's original plan, is God's original revelation. And so I'm going to begin defining. One of the things this sister did for me, she says, being in an apostles' meeting, say you got 12 apostles, 13 apostles talking about who they are and what they should be doing, that's fine within itself. But what about you? How can you understand it? How can you tap into this? What this mean to me? Or what can an apostle give you more than your pastor can give you? Because we know pastors, you know, that's our office, pastor. Say, pastor, hello, hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's a different, there's another dimension.
Yes,
are you listening to me?
Yes,
and it has to do with you. Once you see that, then if you're in an apostolic church that is functioning in the original book of Acts, you will become apostolic yourself. Because you'll know the move. And you'll know how to tap into a different dimension of the spirit. Anybody here?
Yes.
And so it's changes got to be made because you know there's too many Christians suffering. About everything. What is something about? Everything you can think about. And you talk about the authority, and we sing about it, and we pray about it, but we need to have it. Amen. So here's my aim here at Word of Life and with the 82 churches under me and 100 and something ministers to get you to understand what apostleship is and to familiarize you with the ministry official mantle of the apostle. All right? Like the early church had it. You see, these denominations, these religion, these men organizations came in because they strayed away from the revelation of the true church.
Yes,
let's start with a definition. I want you to turn to Acts 26. But I'm going to give you I would think is a profound definition of apostleship. Now, apostleship is the office. Apostles are who? No, talk to me. The apostles who? The apostleship is what? Apostolic is what? What? The what? Functioning. Functioning, right? Okay, all right, you got that. Now you got to know those things. Now watch this. Apostleship defined an apostle as, number one, a deity or sovereign specially commissioned messenger. Delegated with a delegated miraculous power. And he had to pass it on down the line of the five office of the ministry. Sent, now listen, as its ambassador to overturn, I would put it this way, social strongholds, establish its kingdom, and deliver or return its nation, people, and possession to its rightful God. I know that's a whole lot of stuff I said, and I know you didn't get it all, and I know I'm not going to read it no more. In Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 26, God dealt with Paul, Saul, and, you know, Paul became one of the greatest apostles that ever existed. And you say, what does this have to do with me, Reverend? I want to hear something about ABC, what my life, how I get out tomorrow and all that. Well, just listen. You're going to find out how to get out tomorrow. In Acts 26, it says, I'll just read it, the 14th verse. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he said, the sword is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, notice that he could put the call on Paul's life now, on Saul's life. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. You with me, Clyde?
Yes.
To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou have seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Now, verse 17 is very important because in order to do what I'm doing now, you got to be separated from the people. In other words, you can't have nobody controlling you. That's one of the hang-up of the church. The church have got out of order and men controlling the church. And the Spirit of God can't control because men controlling it. And the preacher not free. You got to work out for some little Mickey Mouse salary. Yeah, I'll cut you $40. So verse 17, I know some of y'all don't like it. I don't care. I'm saying it because I want you don't like it. You need to learn. You need to grow up. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people. What? You got to be delivered from the people. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentile unto whom now I send thee. In other words, where I'm sending you, I'm delivering you from them. You depend on me, and you'll be able to minister to my people. But if you don't depend on me, you're not going to be able to minister to them. I remember reading in a book the other day, this guy went to preach to professors, and, you know, he was trying to get up on the professor's level and trying to make sure his grammar and all this stuff was right. So one of the wise professors called him on the side and said, look, man, we need help. Preach the gospel. Don't worry about trying to come up on our level. We need to get on the spirit level, and we need to hear the truth. I find that out in life. When I meet people, I don't care what degree they're wearing or what kind of garment they're wearing. They need Jesus. Yes, and see, most people don't tell big people who are up high, they don't tell them the truth because they're sucking up on them to get something. And they need somebody to tell them, thus say the Lord. I've seen great men and great women break down and cry when somebody tell them the truth because they've been wanting to hear it so long. All right, now, this next verse, verse 18, give us five things that are going to happen to the church. Five dynamics, five powerful things that are going to happen to the church. And I don't know if I'm going to leave them or not tonight. But he says, now you got to know my purpose, and you got to know you're delivered from the people. You got to be delivered from the people to get the people delivered. All right, now watch what he says, verse 18. To open their eyes. Number one, to open their eyes. And to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins, but that's not all. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now I got some more scriptures I got to read before I break that down. I want to read these scriptures because these scriptures are so important. One I don't have wrote down here. Let me see if I can find it. Hallelujah. Now, you're going to stick with me. It's going to take a while to break this thing down over the weeks, but we'll hit all. And you'll hit the place where you recognize why I took my time to really teach this. Yeah, turn to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. There's a great emphasis placed on the church, but not enough emphasis placed on the kingdom. The kingdom is not in the church. The church is in the kingdom. All right? There's a king in the kingdom, and he rules. And he reigns. Yes. And he can't be stopped. Yes. I said, there's a king in the kingdom. Yes. He ruled. Yes. He reigned. Yes. And he can't be stopped. Yes. Now watch what I say next. And I'm connected. Yes. See, you have to move beyond church membership to recognize that you're part of a kingdom. My God, my. There's so much power available for you. It's a sin to be in need all your life. And so here, the Apostle Peter tell us in 1 Peter 2:9, and I'm teaching from a Scofield Bible, and it says, Christian life in view of the believer's position and the vicarious suffering of Christ to put us in position. That ninth verse said, but you are what? What else? What else? What else? That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're a royal priesthood. You see. Identify with that. Turn again now with me while we're here. Turn to Ephesians for a moment because I got to establish some things. Hallelujah. And we're talking about the makeup of an apostolic church, going back to God's original plan, what the church is supposed to be doing. The church is supposed to be operating in kingdom power. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Every believer should be operating, I feel the Holy Ghost, in kingdom power. And as you operate in kingdom power, your authority, your rule, and your ownership and your reigning takes place. Are you hearing me? We're the church living below our means because we got away from the government. You're always going to have false of the real. But you ought to have the audacity to do what the Spirit says. Try the Spirit by the Spirit, not by your head, not by the information been given to you. You can sit in a service, you can sit in a setting and know whether God talking or whether God moving or whether it's a man. You can tell it you have a spirit. You can't let the person next to you decide for you what you're going to do. The yokes have to be broken. The burdens have to be lifted off of God's people. So we can go about our Father's business tearing down the kingdom of darkness. But we're so busy trying to survive that very little time is spent on the Father's business. We're so busy trying to get our home together and our life together that we don't have much extra time But when you turn that loose,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And take a hold of this, when you get back, that will be taken care of. Ephesians 3. There are hidden mysteries you need to know. When those two men, I think in the 17th chapter of Matthew, in the Mount of Transfiguration, those two men that appeared represented the apostle and the prophet. Moses was the apostle. Elijah was the prophet. Mm-hmm. So God is trying to get that back into his church where theology have messed it up. And men-made school have messed it up. And so the believers suffer because they're not functioning in the substance that the Spirit of God wants you to function in. I heard somebody just now say, I'm tired. I heard it in the spirit. I don't know who said it. I'm just tired. I'm just tired. They're tired of not seeing in manifestation what they're hearing. I need the help of the Holy Ghost tonight. I need him to touch you where you are. Take my feeble explanation and make it his. That you'll know that you will not remain in the same position you are. It is time to move. It's time for manifestation. It's time for breakthrough. And it's time to get rid of yokes. Stop talking about the yoke. Deal with the yoke. Come back here Sunday without it. Say, so I lost four yokes between Wednesday and Sunday. If you know what to do. I heard the Spirit of God say, I love you. Good God Almighty. You heard what he said? That's what he told me to say. I love you. I got your back. It's time for your breakthrough. My. All illegal thing Satan been trying in your life stops tonight. What I said? Whoa, that's good news, isn't it? Whoa, it's illegal to have you pinned down where you can't get up. Hallelujah. Sit down. Let's look at this scripture. You know, you're listening to the spirit world, you're being two world at one time. But I want you to write this down. The Lord said, you're suffering for nothing. You're suffering for nothing. You have no business suffering in that area. It's time to cut it out. It's time for your breakthrough. You agree with that?
Yes, sir.
If you, do you agree with it?
Yes, sir.
And you know what? Look at me. When I say something, you're supposed to expect it. My man of God say, because you know what? I'm not out here practicing. I'm here presenting. That's different, isn't it? And so I'm not trying to work no little outline out. I'm trying to tell you what thus said the Lord belong to you, and you can have it now. It's no longer a change is going to come. The change is here. Now. When you're going to be blessed? Now. When your full freedom comes? Everything else is trespassing. Resist it, third fast in the faith. That which is not working with your life. See, it's. My. Impartation of the apostolic cometh upon you tonight. You'll live like you never lived before. Now catch those words. You got to catch them. You catch those words. Then you say it. Say it out loud in your car. Say it out loud in your bed. I'm going to live like I never lived before. Because behind somebody's right leg, you just got healed. It was in the back of, careful your leg. You just got it. You got to check it. You've been dealing with it for years. I don't care. What, ha. All right, now, come on. Sit down. Let's go. Ephesians 3:4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul giving the church to understand it. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Notice just two of them. Notice he didn't say pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Not putting them down at all, you understand? But there's ranks, there's order. This is God's staff. This is God's team. Okay? And you remember he said what he said in Ephesians 2:20? You remember what he said? Now, you don't know. Turn to it. You don't know. I see the way you're looking at me. Go to Ephesians 2:20 and then hold your finger there. You don't know. I see the way you look at me. And no sense us getting in this discussion. See now? What this voice say? What that voice say? What in the world we been doing? He said it out of his own mouth. It's built up on the foundation of the apostle and prophet. Now listen, we're not drawing attention to ourselves. I'm not going to tell you that the rest of your life now. But the office is so important to the pastor. to the evangelist, to the prophet,
yes, sir,
and to the teacher. There's a divine connection. So that's why we got stuck in the church. That's why we've been stunned, because we've been trying to do everything from a pastoral point of view, from a teacher and from the evangelist. It wouldn't be for the apostle and prophet, there wouldn't be no church. Where you gonna get the memos from? Pastor does not pioneer members. He take upon members. Paul and brought the members to them and then left, went to another town. Said, take care of these till I come back. All right, that the Gentiles, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partake of his promise in Christ by the gospel. See, that was a great revolution there. That was a great revolution from a great revelation, because the Jews thought they had the market shut down. But you remember Peter had that vision on top of that roof, said, don't call nothing I made common or unclean. Get down there, three men look for you, go with them. And Peter said when he started preaching the gospel, the same Holy Ghost fell on them, and they spoke with tongue just like everybody else. So that cleared that up. But that was apostolic. See, breaking into new realms and new territory. Are you listening? All right, I want you to read another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. I might just read scripture tonight, because I got to be sure that you get in this. You don't let this church leave you behind. Second Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. 20. Now then, we are ambassadors. Underline that word ambassadors. For Christ. You know what an ambassador does, right? Huh? They go in on behalf of a nation, represent that nation, negotiate. Huh? As through God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. All right, let me go to work now. Should I do this, Lord, or should I do that? All right, let's get some definition. Apostleship. Apostleship is the office that was divinely commissioned by God to administer his will and purpose for the church. Boy, y'all hear my throat. Y'all need to be moving. Apostleship is the office that was divinely commissioned by God to administer his will and purpose for the church. Now, I mean, how do you set us in a dilemma? How do you say it? You got a pastor trying to do that without an apostle? He can't bring you all away. It's God's setup. You see. First apostle, then prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist. Watch. Now, so that's apostleship. Administer his will and his purpose for the church. Think about the Apostle Paul. Now, apostle is the person that fills this office. His appointment is called or appointed by God, not by men. You remember what that scripture said? I'm going to make you independent of men. Y'all remember, y'all read the scripture. I'm going to deliver you from men. You got to be delivered from men. Most preachers I know now, they're not delivered from men. So therefore, they can't say, thus said the Lord. They said, thus said men and God. Because my board said something too. I got to see what they say. Now, apostolic, you ready? It's the functioning of the apostleship of God's government, in which the apostles to carry out among God's body of believers. So much, children. And you got to be grounded and rooted to do this. All right, now, the Messiah. You heard of the Messiah before, right? The Messiah is the divine force behind what apostles do. And it goes way beyond the church. Remember I started talking about the kingdom and the church? The kingdom is greater than the church? No, you don't understand what I'm saying. You're saying, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm going to take you to a scripture to help you. Is that Revelation 11 and 5, I think? Turn to Revelation. So tell me what Revelation 11 and 5 says. I believe that's the right scripture. What did it say? Start reading, somebody. Read it out a little bit. Huh? No, that don't sound like it. That don't sound like it. That's Revelation 11, 5 or 2 you read? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Y'all talk up. Yes, sir. All right. Eleven and 15. I left the one out. And the seventh angel sounded. And there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. So you have to have a revelation of that now, because if you don't watch yourself, you'll turn secular. The internet and all these different technical things they bring in seem like they're more advanced than God. And now the church is being taught that you must shift to a different style so you can appease those who are coming up in this generation. Hell no. We done change enough already. We need to go back. Talking about going forward, they got all this stuff going on, you know, and they're doing all these things, having church on Saturday night to please the people, and having different masses. Changing our attire, just dressing like junk men. And we're not going to change that. I won't be down, you know, just hang loose. I'm not doing it. How would you like President Obama to come here in a jumpsuit? I'm your prayer. He's not going to do it. Now, he dressed casual when he's playing golf and stuff like that. But when he's on business, I got my tailor here. I'm going to get 10 new suits for the camp meeting. Yeah, tie. I told him I want suspenders and all. You know I wear suspenders, right? That's why I never pull them up. You know, boy, be pulling their pants up all the time. I got to pull them up like a. Well, that's the craziest thing. You know, boy, wearing pants on, and he be holding pants up like that. What, I mean, what joy can you get out of this? That's satanic, boy. The devil didn't fool them, boy. Somebody, it's a style. They're stupid. Listen to this. Very important. As eternity first ranking messengers, apostles are sent to communicate and establish God's eternal kingdom and settle the new creation, the church, in Jesus Christ's sovereignty. I'm going to read that again because I want you to catch this. Listen. As eternity first ranking messengers, apostles are sent to communicate and establish God's eternal kingdom and settle the new creation, the church, in Jesus Christ's sovereignty. Amen. They demonstrate, you listening? They demonstrate how and why he is eternal and the world legitimate ruler. Now listen to this. You listening? An official function of the New Testament apostleship is to popularize the Almighty God. Told you blow. You know, God told Moses, hit the rock. When God told Moses, to speak to the rock, he gonna hit the rock. I'm gonna do what I tell y'all, Roger. An official function of the New Testament apostleship. Now, you know what apostleship means, right? Is to popularize the Almighty and his Redeemer's lifestyle and culture throughout the age generation after generation after generation. All right? Now, if the apostle not in place, that's not going to be done. All right, here it is. Apostleship, three most important duties. Christ's apostles are charged with three non-negotiable duties as part of their divine commission. So I'm not, now I'm letting you know, I'm not going to be negotiating. I'm coming out here and I'm officiating. So your faith ain't going to change my officiating. Because I know what's best for you. And I'm going to tell it like it is. And then when you need to pull your sword out, you're going to know exactly what to do. You're going to stand your ground, and you don't need to call nine people. You have authority in three worlds, heaven, hell, and earth. You're living under open heaven. And see, the Spirit of God does not rest on everybody. The indwelling spirit is there on every believer, but the Spirit of God don't rest on every believer because you don't let him rest. You keep grieving him, keep quenching him. And you be at camp meeting because we're talking about the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to tell you how to function in the fruits of the Spirit. There's three things you can do in the fruit of the Spirit that'll change your life forever. Now, these three duties are summarized in three single words. Guarding, G-U-A-R-D-I-N-G, governing, and guiding, G-U-I-D-I-N-G. Those three things, the apostle. Guarding, governing, and guiding. You got it? Guarding his new creation, the church, protecting her, showing her how to defend herself. If you read the Apostle Paul, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Take the shield of faith where you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is the, you know, he's telling you how to get yourself dressed. Breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, see. And then governing his Father's kingdom according to his righteousness. Now, guiding future generation into the salvation of Jesus Christ and not letting a future generation guide you into a new lifestyle. Because they're not going to come to church. If you don't do certain things, they're not coming. Now, I'm preparing my boys, you know, generation, they're going to take this ministry over. But I don't want to turn this ministry upside down to please secular folks. Because you can have a crowd, but I'll put this congregation against any crowd. Because I'm feeding you the word of God, and I know you know how to stand your ground. So I'm not going to compromise to get all these chairs filled. No, I'm not going to. You can fill that church up, you turn it into a hip-hop church. And let people just marry everybody they want to marry and just come set up here and have 9 wives and don't say nothing about it. They'll stay with you. But I'm not going to put up with that. When I see something going wrong, I'm gonna tap it, baby, right on the head. And I'll go with the 300. Trying to be popular. Now, he says, essentially apostleship is nothing apart from these three objectives, guarding, governing, and guiding. And apostleship that fails to perform them is apostleship that have failed God. Because what? Now watch this. Listen. Because his church believers have been left to the wolves and dogs, populated by unregenerated and secular people. People not born again, some of their church members. Do anything. You just want a number. Want some money. Big church, big money. They don't tell people, thus saith the Lord. You're going the wrong way. And the future of his church is jeopardized. And that future generation enter and serve as Christianity is hybrid version of his true body. You know what hybrid means, right? It ain't real. It's a substitute. Some of these large ministries y'all are all excited about. Ooh, look at this. Let's listen at their message. Just listen to what they're saying. Everything all right. Grace gonna take care of everything. Just do what you want to do. God love you. I'm a little prep message all the time. A little prep happy. Everybody happy. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody happy. And somebody says, man, I got a problem. You need to say something to help me with this problem. I need a sure word here now. I need a sword of me this morning. I don't need to be jumping around here this morning. I had a bad week. I need to hear from God. I need something supernatural to help me stand on. How many can agree with that? That's what we need to do. This is sad, some sad statement I'm making on the end. It's sad that we've been robbed of this. The people, apostles are being raised up to affect and empower, have little or no idea of who apostles are to them, what they do, and why they are important to their lives. I know I didn't know. Many members of the body of Christ have never come across an apostle outside of Scripture, if at all. This unite condition every day, Christians to receive and cooperate with apostleship by showing them why neither the mantle nor its ministry is heretical. They just don't know. So we have to learn apostleship importance and practicality. You have to study. Now your Bible reading gonna be different. You know,
The Lord got a sense of humor. Let me tell you why the Lord got a sense of humor. Some of y'all don't realize sometimes what the Lord doing. You know, the Lord gave me money coming, and people started laying money at my feet. That's in the Bible. They laid the money. And see, y'all think, all out of order here. Maybe somebody else out of order. The church you went to, they wasn't doing that. You know why? Here's what the Lord, I'm over there now. Here's what the Lord said. These are breakthrough seed. If there ever was a breakthrough seed, these seeds are breakthrough seed. But they won't sing their way out. I'm skipping a lot of stuff. Now, apostleship, you got the definition down for apostleship? Divine commission surpassed the word apostolic in that apostleship centers on gods and nations, kings, kingship, and ambassadorship, while the apostolic, the gifting of the person, so ordained. So apostolic, just the gifting of the person, but apostleship deal with nation. See, the church don't supposed to be running around a circle just right here. When we walk in a courtroom, we're supposed to have authority. But we're not recognized no more. They kind of laugh. Hey, Reverend, kind of laugh. They don't do that with me. Because I'm something to deal with. But why? Because I know who I am. And I know what I'm called to do. And I know I'm wearing the highest calling that exists in the world. Higher than the president. With no disrespect to the president, but it's higher. The ministerial gift is supposed to have revelation from God. Who can go higher than that? Yeah, but I can get revelation too. Yeah, babe, I know you can get some. But you're not going to get much as those whom God have appointed. Come on, y'all catch up with that. That's why you're here. You're here for me to train you and develop. Yeah, well, I could have read that myself. Well, read it then, baby. But you could not have the atmosphere that is in this house right now. That's an atmosphere that you come into to release what's in you, to bless you, to promote you, to send you forth in power and in glory. You can come in this atmosphere of God, divine order and government and go back home and change the whole setup from one service. Why? Because Almighty God is here. The Lord Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. It's not so much the person that is delivering the message, but it's who he represented. Or who she represented. So you know what I say? I'm closing. You know what I say? You bless. You accept that? Huh? Even though there are some things you may have been deep, some things trying to happen that is not right, God say, I stop them now. boy, you know, and sometimes they hear the Lord is a flashlight. But there's one person in your God doing 15 things for. Good God Almighty. 15 things, one person. Now, how smart are you? Have I trained you good enough to be smart enough? Who is God talking to? Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, that's the way God talked to baby. He said, you know, he says, there's one person here I'm doing 15 things for right now. Why 15? It's just God. And so I have to be bold up. Hakansindo shekete, bro. Hekatsalaman shaka. Kore sheke shekete. Kombre sete. There are some things you've been trying to cut out. And the carver is here. And you will not have to take that journey along anymore. I'm going to see to it that it's cut out.
Normal conversation. It's the spirit realm reaching down in the earth's realm
to tell one of his children something supernatural. That's why the early church had so much power. They would say, they would do, they would act out just what God told them to act out. Unashamedly. Don't need to give an explanation for it. That's a pretty good Wednesday night trip there, boy. I see that commercial, the man lied about that fish. You ever saw that commercial? He told me, and the man come in and hold the fish. Put the fish in the bucket. Put the fish in the bucket. Man said, yeah, what you want me to do with your fish? He didn't lie. He said, boy, I got a fish right there. You got a fish right there. He said, put the fish in the bucket. Well, tonight, put the fish in the bucket because you're not going to be lying anymore. Your life going to get bigger and bigger and larger and larger and larger. The Bible says, I got to close. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro up and down the earth to try to find somebody whose heart is perfect toward him that he may show himself strong on their behalf. As we yield to the Holy Spirit transition in this church, there are going to be some power that's going to make itself available that we have never seen before. I sense it right now. You know, and I had to get to a point of maturity, not just to go by feeling. You know, rhythm is better than feeling. You got a feeling, you're all out of rhythm. Ain't nobody want to hear you. But rhythm, when you get a rhythm in the spirit, my goodness. Now, you want me to tell you what I heard just now? Huh? Y'all gonna cut up if I tell you? Yeah. Gone! Yeah, G-O-N-E. You heard what I said? Gone. That what looked like it was gonna never leave you. Gone! Say it. Who said you couldn't have everything? Who told you that? Who told you you couldn't have everything? Who told you you couldn't have it all? Who told you you can't have the desire of your heart? Who told you either or? And didn't tell you and also? Who told you that? I think there's spiritual emphasis on it. And say it with some gusto. Because it may be something in your body. It may be something in your finance. It may be something in your relationship. It may be something pestering your children. It may be minimum wages that is not proper to live by. It may be some type of blockage. It may be some type of bondage. It may be something that you need to get rid of for a long time. And since God gave us the word G-O-N-E, I want you to say it with all the gusto you got. Say it now.